Hey, this is Joe Healy, a.k.a. The Devfish. Today in the Florida.net Minute, we're going to let Kevin Wolf, the Bite Master on Twitter, take us hands-on into a look at the HTC HD2. We'll see some features of the phone, and he'll side-by-side it with some other Window Phone devices and some Android devices and the iPhone. Should be a lot of fun. Let's get going.
All right,
I'm
just tweeting.
That's good.
Don't read your tweets while we're doing this. Three, two, one.
All right, so Kevin, I see you have the new HD2 from HTC. I have to tell you, just looking at the size of it, it's phenomenal, just that display. It certainly rivals whatever's out there. What do you think so far? What do you like about Winmo? What do you like about the device?
So far, this is one of my favorite phones I've got. I've probably had probably a couple dozen of them over the past few years. And by far, this is one of my favorites. There's a lot of things that I really liked about it. The first thing that I like about it is really the display. I mean, if you look at the thing, this thing is just huge. The other thing is, it's not only huge, but the DPI on it is pretty big. It's got 192.
Put the Coke can next to it. Let's see.
Yeah, okay, there we go. So there's the size of the Coke can.
Wow, okay. Size of a Coke can and just as wide.
Yep, so pretty big. But like I say, it's not only just the size of the display, it's also the DPI on it. If you look at it, I mean, the graphics on here are just incredible. So if we go to the weather application, as it wakes up here again, or it's the browser, I guess, there. If we go to the weather application, it's going there saying, oh, I think we're in town country, must have picked up that as the last location I drove through. But you can see as the clouds kind of go in like that, and when there's rain coming down, you can kind of see drops of water come down the screen, a little kind of windshield wiper on there, nice little kind of animated stuff. So it just kind of makes it a little more pleasant experience. So that's probably one of the best features I like on it is the size of the display and then the HTC's kind of the Sense interface, the way that we can interact with it, just everything that we need with kind of in one kind of common area here.
Cool. And, you know, you mentioned the HTC Sense interface. I think one of the cool things about Windows Mobile is that you do have the ability to skin, put different types of interfaces on there. You've actually done some work with that, correct? I mean, you've kind of tweaked and have messed around with some of that.
I have, actually. That's one of the, like you say, that's one of the cool things I think that's kind of unique about Windows Mobile as opposed to some of the other platforms that I've played with, is just the ability to not only just replace the themes, the colors, the background images, but also the ability to really kind of change the personality of the device. So, for instance, right now we're looking at the standard HTC Sense interface, but there's, say, five or six different ones out there. The standard one that actually comes with the device, I'm falling asleep there. And if we can bring this up, we'll actually switch to another interface on there. This takes a couple seconds for it to actually switch over, but this is another way to actually interact with the device, which is called the SBB Home Shell. There's another one that comes with the Samsung device. And even if you want to downgrade the device, you can even download, their one looks like an iPhone on there, so you can make your Windows Mobile into an iPhone device.
Well played, sir. Well played. I like that.
But anyways, you can see this is a completely different way of actually interacting with the device.
Yep. So all the information now on one screen, again, taking advantage of that nice size screen.
Right.
And one of the things, and I don't know how well it's clear coming up on your video there, Joe, but it's just phenomenal. Even though it's wide, it's not big. You know, you can hold it in your hand very comfortably. At least I noticed that when you allowed me to play with your device a little bit there.
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
So there's other couple of things that are kind of neat about the capacitive multi-touches, too. Second thing is that you can use more of the actual kind of the hardware real estate of your front screen for the actual display itself. With resistive, you got to kind of have some circuitry and stuff along the outside, so you can actually use more of the device for the actual display, so it's not quite as big as it really would need to be. The third thing, which I think is probably even more important than the other two, is just the responsiveness, being able to do your flicks, your gestures, and those types of things with the device. It's really so much more responsive, where sometimes with some of the resistive type of display, you kind of got to fudge it and try to get it to where goal, but this is very, very
simple. Show some responsiveness on.
Okay, let's go actually back to our launcher, and let's see, let's bring up, I don't know. Let me go back here and just kind of flick it.
Ooh.
Bring up the different screens. Let's go into our weather. But I mean, everything as far as, I guess it's not really so much flicking on that, it's just touching it, but you kind of get the idea with that.
Absolutely. Even if you bring up the start menu, one of the nice things about 6.5 is taking advantage of some of those gestures, like you said, the flicks and whatnot. And the other nice thing about the HD2, correct me if I'm wrong, that has the that's one of the new phones with the gigahertz processor, correct?
Performance on this thing is just outstanding. I mean, there's really no delay. I think the biggest thing that takes the most time is actually swapping between the HTC Sense interface and this SPV home shell here. The rest of the stuff, I mean, it's just immediate.
Any other big bang features on this thing, like one or two more?
Let's see here. I printed out a list of them. Another thing that I think is really cool is this is actually starting to replace my Zune HD a little bit, in that you can see it's got a little 1/8 inch jack down there, so I just plug in any standard headphones in there. The other neat thing kind of with this is it's actually using the micro USB interface to be able to hook up to the computers, which isn't so much standard now, but I think you're going to see a lot more of that in the future. The 5 buttons on the bottom to be able to bring up the home page, bring up the Windows Start menu. Here you can kind of see the flicking and stuff. It's just really natural to be able to kind of scroll it up and down. It's just a great device. Out of the box here, it comes with this little program called Wi-Fi Router, which I'm sure we'll talk about programs in just a little bit here. But that's kind of a neat one that actually turns your device into a Sprint Wi-Fi or kind of the Verizon Wi-Fi. So you basically turn that device on, you can hook up a bunch of computers and actually use it as a mobile Wi-Fi router.
Nice.
So Kevin, take me through your three favorite apps on here. I know we have a lot of them, but pick three that you really like.
Let's take a look at Netflix to start out with. I'm sure you've used, you were talking a little bit about Netflix with the 360.
Yeah, Netflix on the Xbox 360 is just awesome.
So what is the one challenge that you have when you're actually trying to watch movies on the 360? You have to pick them out ahead of time. You can't really go search for them.
Right. I mean, it's gotten better, but you still have to kind of navigate the queues through the remote or through the thing. You're right.
So what we can do to actually set that up, if I can X back, let's go back into my applications again. Let's see if I can scroll and find Netflix on here. And a little further, and there it is.
This gives you a rough idea how hard it is for Kevin to pick out his three favorite apps, seeing how many he's got loaded on here.
So let's go see what I got in my queue right now.
Yeah, I looked at his marketplace. He's purchased 34 apps off Windows Marketplace right now.
Yep. Put a little bit of money out there, too. So these are the ones that are actually coming, so we can actually take a look at the DVDs that I'll be getting in the mail. But if I click up here, I can see what my instant queue is. So these are the ones that I can actually go ahead and start up via the 360 or any other devices that support Netflix streaming. And I can go down here and
What's Julia?
Search. I don't know, something my wife found.
I think we get a lot of insight into the kind of movies that Kevin watches.
Most of my wife manages the account, trust me.
Somebody's going to get this video and do a psychoanalyst on you.
You don't have to explain anything.
I'm in trouble now. Let's see if we can find Star Wars on here. Oh, it's Star. Whoops, let's actually hit Star. Space Wars. I think there's a space in there. Let's go ahead and search for that.
There we go, going out.
It's fine in there. So these are the different movies out there. So if it's in the results, we can click on it and add it to our queue and then be able to watch it.
Okay. Good stuff. Cool. I'll tell you, being able to navigate all that is pretty awesome. Again, you think of a movie or somebody mentions it, you can do it on the go.
Yep.
All right, so let's pick another one.
The next app that I was on quite a bit is actually the Bing application. It's in beta right now, and you can get it. Where is it again? m.bing.com/mobile or something like that.
Yep.
So you can actually download the beta version on there.
Don't worry, we'll put it on the video here.
You can get the link out there.
Absolutely.
But this is actually a really nice application. The actual voice recognition works pretty good on here. So let's go search for something. Where do we want to try to find some dinner at?
Isn't that one in Marketplace too?
It is, but it's not the beta version.
Okay.
It's the actual older version.
Very cool.
So we're kind of talking right now while it's trying to translate. But let's see where do we want to try to find some dinner? Let's look for some pizza for dinner maybe. Okay, so let's try that again.
Well, I'm sure we'll find something.
We'll find something.
We completely talked over that. We'll try to keep letting Kevin speak this time.
Pizza? Thinking. And there, hey, look at that. I found that. So it's searching for results with pizza in it based on our current location. I maybe didn't update my current location, so it's looking, it looks like it did find where
we are
here.
Tampa, Florida. Beautiful.
So now we'll just click on that little link there.
I'll prove to them we're in Tampa, Florida. This is your gratuitous out-the-window shot of Tampa Bay. So those of you up north, oh well.
So then we can go and get driving directions from that, from our current location to California Pizza Kitchen. And then it'll actually show a list first, and then if we want, we can switch over and actually get a map of that as well. So it's a really pretty cool application.
That is pretty cool. I mean, think about that. You know, real-world application, you're driving along, you actually speak into it. You're not typing and driving.
Right.
You just said, hey, listen to what I'm saying, and it translated that, went back on the fly. That is pretty phenomenal.
And it does actually even work pretty decent. I was driving home last night and actually using it with my truck with the big mufflers on it, the big rumbling, and it did do a pretty decent job of actually interpreting it. So it's there. The technology's pretty decent.
There you go. All right, check this out. So as this map is coming up, it's coming up with the aerial view, and it's doing the live traffic feed all in one fell swoop. That is pretty darn cool.
That is a neat application.
And you notice the red lines, and that's why Kevin came in early.
That's right. And that's why I'm not leaving right away.
Okay.
So the other.
So go ahead. So Bing, we've got Netflix, we got Bing. Shameless user of both. I'm not going to lie. I think they both are out.
Yeah, so let's go back to our homepage on there. And the other one that I use quite a bit, they're not as much as Bing, is the actual Google Maps application. I know. It's actually pretty decent.
I got to confess, I like it. Works pretty good for me.
And this one actually demonstrates the, there we go, it should have found the location. Seeking satellites. We're inside here, so it may or may not find it. What's neat about this one is look at that. Windows Mobile with multi-touch on it.
There you go.
Wow.
They said it couldn't be done, but here it is being done.
Oh, I love that.
That is pretty darn cool. So, yeah, the capacitive screen, like you were talking about before, you got multi-touch. That was pretty sharp. Yeah, now, again, I like the way it kind of snuck in there that you're using Google Maps, not as often as you're using Bing. But they do actually have a pretty decent application as well, as far as it goes. I think what would probably be good is, you know, since Google Maps does run on here and some of the other devices, maybe we should do a little bit of side-by-side so some of the folks on the video can see what's what as far as these devices go.
All right, so we busted out some of the other phones here. Kevin's got the HD2, which I think is a device we all covet. But go ahead. So let's do a little comparison. Obviously, this one's pretty awesome, but let's do side by side.
Yep. So this is the first one. The resolution on here is 800 by 480. It's not the new fancy OLED ones, but it's actually the old LCD. It's pretty decent. So if you can see here, it's pretty responsive as we move it around. It's actually got the multi-touch available to us.
And you're using Google Maps because that's pretty much across the board on all the phones and all the platforms.
We can run it on the different applications out there, the different devices out there, exactly. So that's the HD2. Should we take a look at the iPhone next here?
Why don't you put another one side by side with it?
Okay.
All right. I think the iPhone is probably as good a place as any to start.
So first of all, when we look at it here, you can see that the screen is much bigger, which I guess in some cases is good, in some cases it might be a little too big for people's hands. But I found it's a pretty good compromise comparing the two here, actually using the HD2, just because you can get so much more information on there. The resolution on here is actually 480 by 320, and if we look at it here, it's a pretty nice bright screen. It kind of really lights up the world, and this also has... We also have our multi-touch available to us, so it's pretty decent. So it's not a bad little device, but again, you can kind of see this one's much bigger, so that's kind of the comparison between the iPhone and the HD2.
Yeah, but as you pointed out, I mean, it's bigger, but it's not without being too big. You know, that fits pretty well in my hand. You look at them side by side, they're pretty darn similar, you know, so you're getting a lot more screen real estate on this without really having to give up too much, and as you pointed out before, we're getting a lot more this way. You know, we're kind of losing some space here because of that speaker and that home button at the bottom.
Now let's just put one right on top of each other to get a sense
there
of.
You, go.
You can see, so slightly, the HD2 is slightly bigger, but we're just getting a lot more kind of real estate, as you say, from the screen as opposed to kind of the bezel.
Absolutely. All right, so that's
about the same height there.
Yes, yeah, so, all right. So that's
throw that G2 in.
A G1. So this is obviously the first generation of Android Google phones. Again, not a bad little device. I think it's the same resolution as the iPhone, which is 480 by 320. So it's a little bit smaller. So again, it's really kind of a nice, compact little device. Let's flop over from the keyboard. So as you can see, the display is much smaller, but it's still pretty bright display. It's probably about the same kind of brightness if you look at it. This one, again, I thought this one had the multi-touch in it, but... I thought for sure it had multi-touch. Anyways.
Looks like a swing and a miss on their part. So, oh, well. That's too bad.
So Google Maps has multi-touch on the HD2, but not on the G1. I'm pretty sure it's the most current version. So that's the G1.
Okay. And again, that's obviously much thicker because you have a keyboard on it.
You have the keyboard on it.
But, you know, different strokes for different folks. We're not going to complain about that.
Yeah, like that Touch Pro 2 has a keyboard. So, you know.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah.
So if we put this right on top of the other device...
And kind of a mood argument, though, due to keyboard, right?
Yeah, it's a mood argument.
Yeah. Again, you know, that's kind of what's going on here. However, you know what, we can do a side-by-side with another Windows mobile phone here as well. And I think one of the biggest things, again, unbiased, of course, but you do have a variety of options here. So you want something that's pure slate, you want something that's a keyboard form factor, we can do all of that. So let's take a look at the Touch Pro 2, which is currently the device of choice for most of us who aren't in Kevin's income bracket.
I'm not sure if that's
it. Don't tell his clients.
Toys, I guess, is probably more appropriate. So this is actually a pretty nice device. This is what I had before I got my HD2, and I really liked it.
Where'd your other one go?
It's actually under 10 feet of seawater right now. So I think in about 3 weeks, I'm going to try to put on my wetsuit and dive down and kind of see all the barnacles and stuff encrusted on it. It should be some interesting
barnacles
pictures.
Barnacles encrusted HD2. That'll be impressive.
And if it fires up, I'll tell you what. We got some exciting stuff going on there. Somehow I got a feeling it won't. But I had my phone on it, so it was really cool because everything that I had on the device, like the pictures, the text messages, use the exchange server, so that does the contacts back and forth. But all those types, the pictures and text messages and anything else like that, documents, actually synced up via my phone from my HD2 that was under the water last time before I synchronized, before it fell in. It actually went up to my phone, and then I installed my phone and kind of configured it on this device, and magically all the pictures and text messages showed up on there. So it was pretty cool. I was pretty happy with that. So here we're looking at the Touch Pro 2. And again, just like the Google phone, it's got the keyboard on it. So that one doesn't alternate up, but you can see a nice big keyboard on there. The display on here is actually the same as the HD2, which is the 480. Excuse me, the 800 by 480, nice bright display. So like I say, this is actually a pretty nice, pretty fast little phone here. It's got the single touch, so it doesn't have the capacitive touch on it. You can see it's probably got a little bit more of a bezel and kind of plastic on the front, but still, it's a pretty decent phone.
Yeah, and you know, hey, this is indestructible enough that Joe Healy can carry it around without it getting too much damage.
So far, yeah.
That's my second smartphone this year. All right. So cool. All right.
That was a look at the HTC HD2. Special thanks to James Cuomo for helping with the interviews, and a very special thanks to Kevin Wolf for bringing in a ton of devices to play with. I'm Joe Healy, DevFish on Twitter, and this has been another Florida.net Minute.